Now, the Bible teaches that there are two ordinances which we as Christians are to observe, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus commanded us to observe them both after becoming believers. Baptism is performed once, as soon after conversion as possible, and the Lord's Supper is observed repeatedly. Now, for water baptism, we find the history of the baptism in the New Testament. First of all, John the Baptist baptized. We find that when he baptized Jews, and that certainly raised a lot of questions among the Jews as to why he was baptizing them, because from the Old Testament times, Gentiles became converts to Judaism and were baptized in water to show that conversion. But why was John, himself a Jew, baptizing other Jews? And we see that he baptized them for repentance, that they might repent from their sins. We find that Jesus himself submitted to baptism at the age of 30. He began his ministry by submitting to John's baptism. And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, we find that account being given to us. And it shows that the Lord is humble and he submits himself as a man to this ordinance, thereby setting the example for us to do the same. And so in Luke chapter 3 and in verse 21, we read, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" This inaugurates the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Then Jesus commanded us to partake of baptism and to minister it to others. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Who is able to baptize someone else? There are some who think there's some kind of a succession from Peter on down, or perhaps it's to be a pastor or someone in authority. But this command is given to all believers. This is the command, the Great Commission, we find in Matthew, and it's in chapter 28, as we said, and it's for all believers. And they are to go into all the nations and make disciples of those nations and baptize the people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this is really for everybody. You, if you are a believer, are entitled to go out and to baptize someone else. Then we find this baptism continuing in the book of Acts. We find more baptisms going on. Paul talks about baptism as well, although he indicates that he didn't do an awful lot of baptizing himself. He left that, no doubt, to others. And this matter of the name, I want to talk about that for a moment. Jesus did say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, the early church, when they were baptizing, as we see in the book of Acts, baptized believers in the name of Jesus. And that's very interesting and has caused a lot of controversy. They understood what Jesus meant when he said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet there are churches that teach you must be baptized in Jesus' name. One group goes so far as to say that if you're baptized in any other formula, so to speak, including the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are not going to heaven. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine God saying, it's faith in my Son, Jesus Christ, plus the special formula of being baptized in Jesus' name? That certainly doesn't sound like the Lord that I love and serve. But on the other hand, we need to pay attention to Scripture. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 talk about this baptism. We find that Peter says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We find again in Acts chapter 10 and verse 48 this mention of the name. Acts chapter 10, verse 48, he commanded them, and again this is Peter, to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And so again, it's that name of Jesus. Now we're going to see in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, Paul is approaching this matter, and he baptizes them, quote, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I think probably the proper way, as we understand how the apostles and Paul did it, would be to baptize in Jesus' name. But certainly, if you've been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost or of the Holy Spirit, certainly the God's not going to penalize you for it. In fact, it does line up with the scripture in Matthew 28, verse 19. I personally baptize in Jesus' name simply to follow the accounts in the book of Acts, but I think it's more a heart attitude than it is a verbal order of words, don't you? I think it's into Jesus that we're being baptized, and that's really what the significance of baptism is. Let's talk about that. The significance of water baptism. The definition of baptism is from the Greek word baptizo. It means to cover wholly or with a fluid, to immerse and submerge. Baptism is scripturally performed by complete immersion in water. We see that. We see John the Baptist doing that. We see Philip doing it in Acts chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. There we see that with the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So this was not done by sprinkling, but it was by immersion. Now, baptism certainly does not save us. It's faith alone which saves us. But baptism is a symbol, and it pictures several things. First of all, it pictures Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for us. As you and I go beneath the water, this shows the death and burial of Jesus. As we're raised up out of the water, it shows his resurrection for us. Secondly, it shows our death, burial, and resurrection. And as we go beneath the water, it shows that we died and were buried with Christ. And again, we've been raised in new resurrection life, spiritually now, and in the future, our physical bodies are going to be raised as well. So this water baptism shows this death, burial, and resurrection of us. It shows the washing of the sins away and the new birth resulting from repenting and believing in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, it represents our union with Christ. Baptism is our testimony to others that we've given ourselves to Jesus. And that's why it's good to have that baptism by immersion for others to see this death, burial, and resurrection. It's a picture of what we've done for Christ and with Christ. Remember now, baptism is only a symbol. It is not going to save us. And also, with the infant baptism, so many have been baptized that way. This was not in the early church. We don't find this in the Bible. It came into the church, so-called, about A.D. 200, with the idea that it could remove sins, the original sin. But remember that baptism is to be undertaken by someone who has become born again, someone who is witnessing to new life in Christ, and an infant can't do that, obviously. And the baptism, of course, has no saving power. This idea of regeneration by baptism simply is not biblical. To require baptism for salvation would be requiring a work in addition to Christ's work on the cross. But Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So all of us need to follow the Lord's command to be baptized. If you have not been baptized by immersion, my friend, I encourage you to do so as early as possible. You don't have to do it in your church, although you certainly can. You can have your friend take you down to the water hole or the swimming pool, and you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you witness to others that you have died to the old life and been raised in resurrection life with Him.